Well, my friends, happy Ascension, not Ascension, I said that like a whole bunch of times, Transfiguration Day. Man, I tell you what, all these big words muddled together in my brain, I'm never sure which is going to come out. Folks, listen, today is the day that we remember the day that Jesus went up on that mountaintop and got very bright and shiny, and Peter, James, and John got quite a scare. And you know, the thing is that we're coming into our God's presence today. But what we know about that is that the only reason we can come to Him today is because He came to us first. We're celebrating this crazy thing called the Incarnation, the idea that Jesus left a perfect place in heaven where He was properly honored and glorified by the angels as He deserves, to come to this place to live low and eventually suffer and die for us. And we worship Him for that. We love Him because He loved us. We believe in Him because He saved us. And this morning, let us begin our service remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God through this incredible message. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You call us to follow You, to see Your good deeds and to give glory to You. Lord, I pray that every day we would follow where You lead us, especially this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended You, and justly deserved Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray You of Your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stars My name is Lewis Johnson. I'm your elder today, and it's my privilege to read our first reading. It's taken from the second chapter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Come on down, kids. Well, good morning. How are you all doing today? A little groggy, maybe? Yeah. I bet if you saw what Peter, James, and John saw up on that mountain, that would wake you up. Seeing a man, Jesus, glow like the sun. Wow. Do you ever notice in church how sometimes we use words that we don't usually use other places? Like transfiguration. When would somebody use that word outside of church? We're going to focus on a different word, though, prophet or prophecy. So I'm going to test you guys to see if you think I'm a good prophet or not, somebody who can explain things that are very hard to understand or maybe even tell the future. Last week was Super Bowl Sunday, which to me is good news because it means baseball season is here. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say it like it's a fact, even though it hasn't happened yet. The St. Louis Cardinals are going to win the World Series this year. Do any of you believe me? No, the adults know that they've sold off all their good players, so this is what we call a rebuilding year. Yeah. The chances of the St. Louis Cardinals winning the World Series this year are very low. So if I were to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are going to win the World Series, you would need to question me. Do other people ever tell you things that aren't the truth? Yeah, sometimes. How do you know when somebody is telling the truth or not? I think that this whole thing that happened up there on the mountain that we just heard about, Jesus becoming like lightning or the sun, or he was white like somebody had bleached his clothes, I think that was to get everybody's attention and say, hey, I'm the one who tells the truth here. Listen to me. Listen to what I say. Couple of things in the Bible, I want to give you some hints. When Peter, James, and John are there, pay attention. Something really, really important is happening. When something is on a mountain, pay attention. Something really, really important is happening. Moses, he was there. So he received the Ten Commandments on a mountain. He saw a burning bush on a mountain. That was a miracle. That doesn't happen naturally. And then Elijah, one of the greatest prophets. So Elijah had brought the truth to the people. Do you think they always listened to him? No, they didn't always listen to him. But God sends us certain people to listen to. When you come to church and pastor preaches, or somebody does a Bible devotion with you, do you listen to those words? Yes. God said up on this mountain of transfiguration, he said, this is my son whom I love and whom I am well pleased with. And he said what? Listen to him. So what is the most important message that we listen to from Jesus? Number one, he loves us. He took our sins to the cross and died. And then not just that, but he rose again after 3 days of being dead so that those sins and the bad things we've done, they're as far as the east is from the west. Is that a type of prophecy? Is he the prophet we want to listen to? Yes. Amen. You can tell everybody else that message too. So know that when God talks and when Jesus speaks to us, listen, because it's the truth and we can trust that. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming for us. Help us to listen and follow your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it is now time for little worship. So kiddos, as long as your parents are okay with it, you can head to the cross in the center aisle, and you're going to get a lesson just for you and the rest of us. We're going to open up God's word here and see what he has for us in it. So, there's a lot of churches out there who, when they read the gospel, the pastor doesn't just stand up front at the lectern. He comes right down here in the very middle of the church. And this is where he reads God's word. And the question is, why do they do that? And the answer is because he wants you to understand, to remember that this is what Jesus did for us. He didn't stay separate and teach us from afar. He came right down in the middle of us, and he preached to us. He came to this world so that we would know the Father and so that we could be saved. You know, we remember all the time, you say, why was Jesus born? And we know he was born so that he could die for us and rise again. And that's true, absolutely true. But he came here for another reason as well, and that is so he could reveal himself to us. So that, like when the disciples came to him and said, show us the Father, and he looked at him and said, don't you understand? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let me tell you what God is about. Let me tell you why I am here. I come here, and remember what it was that Jesus did. He left everything that was perfect, and he came to be born in this world poor to a single mom. And Matthew, at the very beginning of the gospel, goes into great detail about Jesus's lineage, right? You know, some of the people that were in Jesus's, you know, that were Jesus's great grandparents, people like Rahab, you know, people like Tamar, look it up, quite a story, you know, people, Bathsheba. And you got to remember, it's all the guys that, you know, were part of these stories as well. These are not the most notable people in a positive way. And today, Jesus was making a shift in his ministry. It was a major shift, you know. While he was here, he taught his disciples. This incarnation thing wasn't just about Jesus. It wasn't a bug in the system. It wasn't something that was, you know, tangential to Jesus's ministry. This incarnation thing was everything about Jesus's message as well. I mean, remember when he first started preaching, he started the big Sermon on the Mount, right? That big, like, this is what it means to be my disciple sermon. And he says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those blessed are all the bad things that we generally try to avoid. And Jesus says, blessed are those people. Because they're going to receive everything that they need. Everything. He goes to he complements the faith of the non-Jewish people, the people who aren't the chosen people of God, a Roman soldier. He says, no one, I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel. The woman who comes to him with the bleeding disorder, when he's on his way to heal another person, and she touches his cloth, and he complements her faith. He says, these are the people whose faith. He talks about the children, right? He says, let the children come to me, because this faith is the faith that you guys can use as a model for your own. Everything is backwards for this Jesus. You know, he compliments the people who aren't the chosen people of God, and he castigates the chosen leadership of the people of God, saying, your faith is in the wrong thing. Everything is upside down with this Jesus. He tells his disciples, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant of all. And the great are going to just barely be able to squeak into heaven. I mean, everything is backward. And the disciples struggle to listen. They hear it. We know they hear it because later in their life they record it. So we know that they were there. But hearing is only part of the game. Listening is so much more. And right before Jesus went up on the mountain, he asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And Jesus, who replied? Peter replies. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Was that a good confession? Did Jesus get a little excited? Absolutely. That was exactly what Jesus wanted to hear. He was so excited about it. And he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I mean, he was just so excited about that message, that answer. The next paragraph, Jesus starts to foretell what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. See, his ministry was about to take a turn. He was going from the gathering of followers and the teaching of the word to heading toward the city where he was going to sacrifice himself for us. And you can imagine that this would be a hard time. And so in this moment, he did something wonderful. He took a break and he separated himself from the people and he went up on the mountain so that he could receive ministry. And he was up there with two other guys who had had similar situations in their life, right? There was Moses. Do you think he needed some preparation for ministry? I mean, nothing like saying, "Dude, you are going to be the leader of God's nation. And they don't know you're coming." And by the way, they're enslaved in one of the most powerful nations on earth. But don't worry, I got you. Just go. Yeah. He definitely needed some preparation. And then once the Exodus is over and he comes into the wilderness, and now he's like, "Okay, we're free. You know, we don't really know what's going to happen next. We are in the wilderness, the desert, and people like to drink stuff and eat stuff and wear things and have things. I mean, what are we going to do next? What is the next thing?" And Moses is taken up on the mountain and prepared. "I will be your God. You will be my people." This is what this means. And Jesus was in that same position. Jesus is human. You understand this. He also is God, so he knows what's coming. He's prophesying it to the disciples, saying, "I'm about to go to Jerusalem where I will suffer and be killed, and on the third day I will rise again." This was not an easy thing for Jesus to do. Do you think it's fair that Jesus would take a beat and get some ministry to be encouraged? And this is where the disciples get it wrong again, right? Because where does Jesus belong? What is his purpose? To be over here in the middle of the people, right? Is it legitimate for us to take a for him to take a break and to get out of the middle of the people for a little bit, to be encouraged and renewed and refreshed so that he can get back in? What did Peter ask him? He said, "It's cool to be here, Lord. This is more like what we're talking about, right?" I mean, you know, a couple minutes before, Jesus said, "I'm about to die." And Peter said, "No, be it far from you. This shall never happen to you." Now, that's an interesting thing to say, right? In the former paragraph, he says, "Hey, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why we're following you, is because you are the one who has all the answers," right? He goes, "Well, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is it. You're the one we're following." And as soon as he starts saying something that Peter doesn't want to hear, Peter says, "No, stop saying that. You're wrong, Jesus." Now, is this a really good position to be in? To looking at God and yelling at him and saying, "You're wrong, stop saying that." Well, next, Peter's on the mountaintop with Jesus. And Jesus finally is showing his glory. The disciples have been waiting for this. I mean, come on, you know, this whole thing about Jesus being weak and all that stuff, they were tired of that nonsense. They were waiting for Jesus to take charge, to show his glory, to be the one, and that the disciples were going to be like alongside him in the wings, you know, being the powerful people that stood behind the great Messiah who's going to come and free the people from the Romans. And it looks like finally this is about to happen. And Jesus is standing there all shiny and glowy, and he's being talked to by Moses and Elijah, and he's like, this is it. This is it. This is it. It's going to take a while to build a palace up here where people can come up and talk to Jesus and Jesus can rule, but that's okay. How about we just start with some tents? We just need some place where we can stay for a little while, because this is it. This is where we want to be. We want to be here where the power is and the glory is, and everything is going our way. We want the world to come to us and honor and respect us. This is the way it should be. And what does the Father say? The Father says, guys, Peter, remember what you just said. This is the Son that I love. Listen to him. You have been with him so long, and you have heard the message. You have heard what Jesus is saying. You've heard about how the weak are the strong, and the strong are the weak, everything is upside down and backwards, and you've heard it, but you still haven't listened. And because you haven't listened, you're misunderstanding what the purpose of the mountaintop is. The purpose of the mountaintop is to be encouraged so that Jesus could get back down in the fight and do the work for which he came. The norm is suffering. The norm is sacrifice. If our goal is to get out of uncomfortable situations, if our goal is to use the resources that God has given us to build walls around ourselves so that we can keep all of the uncomfortable things away from us, all the disagreeable people, all the difficult situations, all the things that we don't want to see, if that is what we do, if we use the gifts of God to stay away from doing the work of God, are we right? Is it good to be too comfortable? You know what we need to do with all these resources God gave us? Instead of building walls around ourselves, we need to build bridges. We have to make it easier for all those people to find us and talk to us. Because if they can't find us and can't talk to us, how will we ever share the message of redemption with them? How will we ever be able to share God's love with them? Because this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, on Monday, Thursday, he's the great commandment, the new commandment that he gives, as I loved you, this is how I want you to love each other. I left all comfort. I was born in utter humility. I went hungry for you. I slept outside for you. I came to minister to you. I told you the truth even when you didn't want to hear it. And because I told you unpleasant truth, you hated me for it. And finally, at the end, I suffered and died to take credit for your sin. And Jesus says, I did all this so that you can be saved. I want you to love like this. I want you to be in the world. I want you to willingly take on discomfort. I want you to put yourself in situations where you are stressed, where you are uncomfortable, where you are hated sometimes, because I want people to be saved. I redeemed them. I paid for their sin. I give you the role of being the one to spread this message. And the Bible asks the question, how can they believe if someone is not sent? How can they hear if nobody speaks? And my challenge for you folks is this. God calls us into a radical life. It's crazy. It is countercultural. In the world today, we use all the stuff God gives us to make to be comfortable. We build nice houses and have large yards and garage doors so the pesky neighbors can't talk to us when we get home. I mean, we guard ourselves. We insulate ourselves. And we have to start doing the very opposite. Not to say that you don't need to get away sometimes. It's what we're doing right now. What this is right now is this is our mountain. This is where we come to be with God. This is where we celebrate baptism and receive the Lord's Supper. We receive the strength and forgiveness that God has for us and the nourishment that we need so that we can continue to live as his people in this world. But we have to understand the task. The task is not to be comfortable. The task is to be effective. The task is to love, and to love with all the creativity, passion, and resources that our God has given us. The abilities he's given you, he didn't give them to you just for you to enjoy them. He gave them to you so that you can use them for his work in the world. So that you will have opportunities to show his love and then speak his love. To earn respect, to earn the credibility needed so that we would be able to share his faith, to share his word, to share his salvation. Because we have shown ourselves to love. My friends, I ask you again. And this is one of those things that's going to take some time and you're actually going to have to think about it. So if you can, set apart some time so you can think on this. And the question is this, where in your life are you building walls? Where are you isolating yourself from the people that we've been sent to serve? And where in your life do you need to build bridges? Where in your life do you need to change things around so that you are going to come into contact with people who actually need to hear the message of Christ? And actively seek them out. Because every single one of those people are people that Jesus died for. And every single one of those people need to know what Jesus did so they also can have the peace that we enjoy. So that they also can have security of knowing that their sins have been covered and that they can spend eternity with the God who came here to serve us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to bless and keep us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet in the world, to be your ambassadors, to speak of your love, to share your truth, Lord, that capital T truth, the truth that rescues and saves liberally and often. And help us, Lord, show us the places in our lives, the things that need to change, so that we can be more effective as your witnesses. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is planted. Where streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm down in the desert place.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I might be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Jesus, we love because you first loved us. For us and for our salvation, you came down from heaven. We pray that you would guide us, that we might serve our neighbors. Help us to remove any barriers that we have to sharing what you have done for us and all humanity. Help us to see the people you have put before us and witness to them. Heavenly Father, we pray you be with Kathy Zeebel as she's recovering after a fall. Give her the strength as she goes through rehab. and help her to get fully recovered. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Josh Liebman as he's continuing to recover after surgery. Just help his body to acclimate appropriately to everything after the surgery. We give thanksgiving that Jim Biglin is having no signs of a tumor, and I pray that you continue to be with him and with Terry. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Marilyn, the sister of Cindy Ball. We pray that you would grant comfort to everyone who is mourning that loss. As well, we pray that you be with Connie, another sister of Cindy Ball, who's in rehab for a broken ankle. Give her strength and help her to be whole. And Lord, we pray for Zina Chimdi, a baby who's in the NICU. We give thanks that she is growing and that she's getting stronger. We pray that you continue to help her to thrive and be with all those who are giving her care. Be with her parents as well as they're patiently waiting for her to get strong enough to be out of NICU. Lord, we pray for all of our local leadership this day, especially we pray for Chief of Police Michael Wurgis, that you would guide him as he serves in that role, the whole community. All these things we pray as our Lord and Savior has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
It was like yesterday, I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, and I will keep counting my blessings. I can't help that high.
God, I'm still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life, the more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings. Only I can count that high. I will keep counting my blessings. Only I can count that high. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from this table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my
grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's a
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to dismiss all the kids who are going to Sunday school to go meet our DC Lauren Bates there in the back, and she'll get them on their way. Other quick announcements I want to note. This Wednesday starts Lent, and so we have Ash Wednesday services this Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. and a 7 p.m. There is no meal this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday we're going to start then, I believe it's 5 weeks total of Lenten dinners, a great fellowship opportunity starting from 6 until the 7 o'clock service that same evening. I also want to note today we have Pastor Dar has a Bible study, and it's on living the disciple life, and that is motivated by the three loves, namely growing in love for God, growing in love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and growing in love for the world. And so it's a multi-week series that he's going to be starting today, so I might just stick around here in the worship center for that Bible class. Otherwise, thanks for joining us today, and I pray you have a blessed week.